One second.
Sure.
All right, the next item is a quarterly pension update. I did invite Mr. Michael Schoen from Marquette Associates here, if he'd like to come up. We're going to tag team here in this presentation. We have a lot of changes, topics to talk about. So the topics we're going to talk about, I'm going to give you my normal quarterly performance summary real briefly on the next slide. We're going to talk about international equity targets and I recommend changes in the pension fund. We have some concerns about how our U.S. large cap equity manager DuPont Capital Investment has been performing, so we want to make a change there. And then if you remember in the budget, you approved $10 million, $5 million for each fund of assets into those pension funds. So we're going to make that recommendation of that deposit plus a reallocation of assets. So looking at our performance summary, you'll see that we have in the pension fund a market value of $82.8 million. The second quarter saw a net return of 2.6%. That's a one-year return of 11.7%. Now that one-year return is very important. As you remember, we had changed our assumed rate of return to 7.25%. So it's important that that number exceeds that 7.25%, which it has. And then you can see the dollar amounts, how much our fund has earned in the second quarter, 1 year, and 3 year time frames. Moving on to the OPEB, which is our health insurance for our pensioners. The market value is $35 million. The quarter, same as the pension fund, saw 2.6% and a 1 year return of 10.8%, again, exceeding our assumed rate of return of 7.25%. Okay, we're going to move on talking about international equities. So currently our allocation in the pension fund is 12%. We're recommending an increase of 2%. This is mirrors what our OPEB fund is. And the reason we're doing this is if you do a formula and you project out what international equities should bring in, it could be anywhere from 8.6% to 10%. This is, again, a 10-year equity return. Versus the U.S. domestic equities, which is got a little bit of a lower range. So the chart below will show you what would happen if we were to change, our assumed change would be a nominal annualized return. Instead of being 6%, it would be 6.14%. So it's a slight increase, not taking on too much risk. But the committee is recommending a 2% increase. And I don't know if you want to elaborate a little bit.
Yeah, just think of it that, you know, U.S. equities have had a great, great run-up. But as we all know, whether it's real estate or stocks or anything else invested, after a big run-up, you want to take a couple chips off the table. So that's what we're suggesting is move a little bit from that you have in the U.S. equities over to international. It'll be consistent with what you have on the OPEB side, which is 14%, and get into the area that we think should do better over the next 10 years.
Okay, I have a motion for your consideration on this topic.
Motion.
Be it moved that the Sussex County Council, based on the recommendation of the Pension Committee and Marquette Associates, amend the pension fund investment policy by increasing international equities by 2% and decreasing domestic equities target by 2%.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Arlett.
Second.
Second, Mr. Cole. Any questions on the motion?
Just one.
Mr. Arlett.
If the market does something drastic, do we have the ability to come back before next year and make a change?
Oh, absolutely.
Just
we can change it.
Just want to make sure that we...
Oh.
Good question.
Yes.
I got one. Burton, you mentioned this would be a 10-year change?
No, this is a 10-year projection. So this is not a tactical decision of, wow, we think the next quarter it'll do better. We think over the next 10 years international stocks would be do better than that. So it's a strategic decision.
Great. And the two funds, you're just matching the two funds. So the 14% in the U.S. is the same as that you have in the international.
So the 14% that this would change to in the pension would equal what you're doing already in the OPEB fund.
Okay.
So, and they both have targets of 65% equities.
More questions?
And what? How much money is the does the 2% amount to?
2%
what is? What are we talking about with 2%?
$80 million, it's about $1.6 million.
Okay. Doesn't seem like a lot. Doesn't seem too risky, does it?
No, Now, we've had, quite frankly, we've had some clients that have jumped 4% change, but I think noting the nature, I think, of Sussex County, which is more conservative than most, you know, just a little incremental change, I think.
Yeah, but we like to make money off our investments like anybody else.
Oh, yeah, I mean, that's it.
In the industry average is,
is higher than where you are.
Where we are. We're kind of on the low side, right?
Yeah, the industry average is
Closer. Are we being too conservative? Spit it out. Good.
Probably.
Okay.
Probably.
Just curious. And yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I'd say the industry average is closer to 18 or 20. You're going from 12 to 14.
Mm-hmm. More questions?
Something interesting.
We'll take the vote. Mr. Arlett?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I believe that's motion carried. Next.
Okay. Moving on, looking at DuPont Capital Investment, they're one of our U.S. large capital equity managers. And in that chart, you can see how DuPont has what their returns have been over these periods of 3 months, year to date, 1 year, 5 year, and the inception. Underneath it, I put what the index is. So this is their benchmark. This is not an active manager, you know, what you would expect to see a non-active manager be. So you can see they've underperformed against their benchmark for all periods. However, if you look at the inception of 15.1%, they're still in the top third of the managers that do this type of thing. So they still performed they did better than most managers in this sector. But we're going to recommend moving all of those funds to an index fund, which its goal is to reach the index. So we're not paying for that active management. And by doing that, we would save a fee because we're paying them to actively manage. So you can see what the fee is right now with DuPont. And if we just move it to an index fund, you can see it would be $8,000. So our recommendation would be to move the money out of DuPont into the index fund.
Do you have a motion?
I have a motion after I give the rest of the allocation. So when we do that, you can see the dollar amounts and the movement. So the total assets, the first column is how much we have in the fund currently. Well, when we took it as of August 21st, I believe, $83 million, where the current allocation is, how we're going to rebalance, how we're going to move money out. So you can see that DuPont Capital, we're moving out $17 million. And the net effect rebalancing is $5 million because we're putting an extra $5 million in there. So after the $5 million, you can see where we are in that next column, and then the percentage allocations is in the last column. So everything is going up except for the DuPont Capital. And now I have a motion for your consideration. Be it moved that the Sussex County Council, based on the recommendation of the Pension Committee and Marquette Associates, after contributing an additional $5 million to the pension fund, allocate the portfolio as presented, which will terminate the county's investment agreement with DuPont Capital Investment.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Arlett. Second, Mr. Cole. Questions on the motion? Mr. Cole.
Index funds, I've always thought were safe, you know, not as risky, right? Are we projecting, like you did before, this 10-year period, is there any projections on which index funds may be performing the best over the next 10 years? Is there any?
Yeah, this one in particular, because we were going to replace like kind for like kind, DuPont is managing large cap U.S. equities. Mm-hmm. This is a U.S. large cap equity fund, so it'd be just a like kind for like kind.
Right, SPD is that fund, right?
But, yeah, and
but I see all these other, the mid-cap and the other, these other index, even the foreign, you know, investment index funds and stuff. Did anybody look at maybe the next 10 years where they what index fund they thought would be?
So what we're planning on doing at the next meeting, we had looked at other managers in this sector and nobody performed as well as DuPont did. Even though they, mm-hmm. So what we're doing at the next quarterly meeting is looking at the global sector to have an active manager there. We feel we can outperform the index at that point in the global sector. But in this sector alone, in the this one that DuPont's located,
so
we don't think we can outperform the index without a cost.
Well, I mean, if we are conservative, I mean, index funds are very conservative, and they're also, the fees are so low. You just saw the savings on that other fee structure. Yeah, I mean, I don't know why the county's not, everything's not in just index funds.
Well, everything that you have outside of the state will be in index funds, other than what Wilmington Trust is managing.
Okay.
So.
Is that the right way to go, is to go to an index fund? I mean, I kind of like paying commissions, you know, you eat what you kill type thing, right? And if you're just turning it over to the market.
I like about a 50-50 split. In certain areas, it's very, like, if you look at U.S. large cap stocks, it's very difficult for a manager, you know, who's going to all of a sudden say, oh, I just found Microsoft, you know, or I just found Google. So to pay extra money for something that everybody's following, I think you're better off saving money.
Where because it's only large cap stocks.
Right.
That's all that index would
That's
do.
That's all that is. But now where you tend to find, you know, opportunities to make money is in the international and the global space. So the next step is to look and say, okay, what opportunities are there? They want to take this first step. Do note that the money you have with the state money does have a lot of money with active managers. So when we built the rest of it, we built sort of around what they already have. When you look at the OPEB fund, you'll see a lot more of active managers with indexing. So,
okay. Any more questions? We'll take the vote. Mr. Arlette?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Next.
Okay. Moving on to the OPEB portfolio, all we're doing here is rebalancing based off of the investment policy statement that we already have and adding the $5 million. So you can see everything's adding to it, adding the $5 million, same kind of chart, where we are today, what the allocations are, where the $5 million would be going, what the balance is after the $5 million, and then the percentage changes. And you can see they do not fluctuate much. It just rebalances. If we have a target of 7%, we want to make sure we're close to that target. I have a motion for your consideration.
Please read your motion.
Be it moved that the Sussex County Council, based on the recommendation of the Pension Committee and Marquette Associates, after contributing the additional $5 million to the OPEB fund, allocate the portfolio as presented.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Arlette.
Second.
Second, Mr. Wilson. Questions on a motion? Take the vote. Mr. Arlette?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And if I may just add, if you notice on the OPEB fund, there were, if you want to go back to that just for a second, mm-hmm. you'd ask the question about active management. Mm-hmm. You'll see under the global equities, Artisan, Dodge & Cox, and MFS are all active managers. And those are ones that have proven, at least over time, doing better than just indexing.
Where do you have them?
Where it says global equity.
Yep.
See, there's U.S. equity. So all the U.S. equities, those are index funds because it's very tough to add. You might as well save on your cost. Under global equities, those three have outperformed their indices. So that's the area we figure, you know, put your money there where you can, it's proven at least historically to outperform.
Okay.
So you see that over there. Okay.
Good deal. Thank you.
Sure you will.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Jennings.
Thank you.
For watching out for the retirees' money. Mr. Cole really appreciates it.
Well, no, I'm worried about Ira back there. He was sweating there a minute, and he looks okay now.
Yeah. Mr. Costello. Update on trash and property violations.
Morning, Mr. President, members of council.
Morning, sir.
Wanted to provide you a brief update on a project. It was a cleanup on Kennel Road in the Frankfort area. The reason for the update is in the beginning, this project had received a substantial amount of limelight, and I just wanted to bring you up to date on where we were today. So in early March, we were notified about a property in Frankfort that had a large amount of trash deposit on it. Our constable's office responded to the area and conducted an initial inspection. This entire project was coordinated out of the constable's office. Our chief constable, Ryan Stewart's not able to be here today, but Constable Alan Shields was present on each and every one of the inspections, and I wanted to bring him along. I've not set foot on the property, so all the information that he's bringing back is Constable Shields has provided. He's been with the constable's office for just over a year now, and he's doing a great job.
Attractive.
So The site had available access for the inspectors, and it was obvious that there had been illegal dumping occurring on the property for some time. The activity was more than what could be generated on the property by the owner. So Denrick was contacted and asked to investigate. Our group was asked by Denrick to leave the site undisturbed until they complete their investigation. So as you look at the photographs, you'll see this is more than what a property owner would generate on his own property, which is what we regulate. So this was an illegal dumping that was occurring, which is regulated by Denrick, which is the reason why we asked them to come on board with this. So following the Denrick investigation, their department released information regarding the arrest of two individuals. One was charged with illegal operation of an unpermitted solid waste facility, and the other was charged with illegal collection and transportation of trash to the area and illegal disposal. So one of the subjects was given a court date for a hearing at a later time, and the other was fined and placed on probation according to this news release. So none of the subjects were owners of the property. So following Denrick's investigation, our inspectors returned to the site to find no improvement in the conditions. So we sent out a violation notice to the property owner, but there was no improvements had taken place through May and into June. In late June, the owner's son was contacted in Maryland, and although there was a desire to get the site cleaned up, the magnitude of this job and the financial requirements complicated any plan to tackle it. So he also mentioned that the property was heavily leaned. The son expressed that he was able to secure heavy equipment and do the work, but the landfill fees, containers, and transportation were an issue. So I had suggested a possible partnership with him if he would do the work, and he's very interested in that. So the inspector estimated that the debris that was on that site would require 10 dumpsters to contain the debris. So an offer to provide these dumpsters and transportation to the landfill was made, but required him to pay the tipping fees and additional dumpsters if more were needed. An agreement was made, and the site was cleaned up during the last week of July and the first week in August. So what you see here is the breakdown of what the costs were. And the owner's son had provided me with the details on what his costs were. So he rented equipment to the extent of $3,000. His landfill disposal costs were $6,250. He hired somebody to help him with the project for $300. And the county chipped in $1,650 for the dumpsters and transportation. So the total was $1,200 for this. We provided 10 of the dumpsters, and he provided the other two. So roughly 15% of the cost was provided by the county through the agreement. The funds from the programs and projects were used to provide these dumpsters from one of our vendors. So what's important here is that without this partnership, it's likely that the property would have not been cleaned up to this date. Should we have exercised our authority to remove the violation, the costs would have been much higher than what you see here. Our ability to secure any interest in those expenses would have been through filing yet another lien on this property. So we did another inspection on the 1st of August, and the property is now in compliance, and we have been able to close out this complaint.
There will be a follow-up so that we don't see it sneaking back in?
I believe we will be doing, sir.
Okay.
One of the other members of the family had contacted the office just to make sure that it was within our satisfaction, and they're going to be doing everything they can. I think they're going to put some fences up and some other blockades to restrict access to their property.
But they were all well aware of what was the activity. If they were the property owners were well aware of what was going on because, right, one of the property owners
I believe
was
that the property owner was aware of what was going on, right. But his ability to control it was in question. The folks who stepped forward to help with this, they're all absentee. They all live in other states, mm-hmm. and they're not affiliated with the property per se.
First thing, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank both of you and certainly Stuart for being involved in this and following through on this and getting it completed. Certainly that area has got to look a whole lot better. I think the neighbors must be a whole lot happier, but I would guess, Mr. Arlett, you have some comments?
Yeah, I just want to, I think, commend our staff. I have to tell you, I got the phone call from the constituent, shifted the ball over to Mr. Costello, And as we can see, in a matter of 3 days, we were out there. 72 hours after receiving a complaint from the public, our staff was on site with photos and sharing the complaint to the state authority, DENREC, because that was their responsibility because of the illegal dumping. And I think it's a great testament to our staff and their dedication to and resolve to really solving these issues. And I think also partnering, and I want to publicly thank the state. Sometimes they're always thrown under the bus, sometimes. But I think in this example, I think it is commendable for them to be able to step up and work with the county at the local level to solve the issue. In the end, it's a win-win. And I think the expense to the county, the taxpayers of the county, is $1,650. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
So it could have been a lot worse. I think in the end, are there any recommendations or suggestions going through this process that either one of you could have for either us, or even for that matter, even DENREC? I think in the end, I think one thing that is concerning to me is that two people were arrested. If I recall, the fines were not all that much. And I think, but I'd love to get your input on lessons learned from this process going forward.
I think the biggest lesson for us is the engagement with the owner, the one-on-one engagement with the owner. We can't always rely on our authority to do something, because if we would have just stayed right on the line and exercised our authority, the taxpayers would have had an incredible burden. We'd have footed the entire bill for that. And then as the property is already heavily leaned, the likelihood that we'd have gotten our investment back would have not been much. So the communication with the person who wanted to do something about it was key in this, as it is with just about every large cleanup that we do. It's the negotiation that takes place between the owner and the county.
Any thoughts from your perspective?
Well, this one actually was, I'd say, a best case scenario, because it did get resolved quickly. Now, for the large amount of trash that was there, coordinating everything that we did with the owner and the county, I feel like it got taken care of pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I have others that, you know, slowly move along, you know, but they are making progress. To see something like this, it just sort of motivates me to say, well, if he can do it, you can do it.
Mm-hmm. So. Very good. And I know, Mike, I think there were a couple of other issues, if I recall, with this particular property, the dwelling. You know, I think some other violations that were there. Do we know any status of that, of those?
There were some other DENREC issues related with that, and I'm not sure what they did. They didn't provide it in their in their complaint, and to the best of my knowledge, that structure is unoccupied at this point, so I don't believe there's a continued violation there.
Well, congratulations. I think it's a great testament to this county and the state, for that matter, working together for the common good of the people. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Thank you. Mr. Medlars, got